You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Begun. Let's go.
Well, what do you live? Is the smoke getting your eyes from your wrought iron?
My wood stove. My miserable ass wood stove. We'll talk about it. Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And we're going to talk some sponsors before we get to the shit.
And I could hear Tom's throat. Tom, I hope sending my love down the well,
thank you.
The way down. Thank you to our sponsors, Run for Cover Records.
Oh yeah. Hell fucking yeah. Listen, Run for Cover Records. They know what's up. They know that I'm going to ask them for money any day. shout out to Run for Cover.
Thank you to Convulse Records.
I haven't asked them for money, but if they give it to me, we can talk.
Let's go. Thank you to Live a Lie.
I'll take their money too. What's up?
And thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Closed Casket, whose money I have taken on a couple occasions, yeah.
Mm. And who, in our group chat, referred to you as the worst friend he's ever had. And I think I could probably have that title for a few people. Tom
and
I laughed harder.
I haven't laughed to a text message that hard in years.
It was
there were so many levels to it. I'm like, it encapsulated Patrick in such a way that I was like, it was surgical.
Look, there were two humanities majors in that group chat with college level degrees, and he just whooped ass all around.
Yo, why did I go to school for? I got my master's in psychology. I didn't even get it right.
And this dude
just fucking tore it up. The house.
Oh my God. Starting there, Closed Casket Activities, closedcasketactivities.com. He is not the worst friend you'll ever have. He's one of the best. His label rocks. He's got a few things that's going on that is him being a good friend. Let's start with all our friends, Cosmic Joke. Cosmic Joke, self-titled.
Shout out. Or
Who the Bleep is Cosmic Joke. Shout out to Hardlore, Hardlore Records. Exclusive color. Half red, half beer with double mint and blue spillatter. That's the Hardlore color.
Held one IRL yesterday. Look good.
Very nice. Looks good.
You held it like gave it back?
Yeah, I did. It was like a
baby.
Evan got a copy early, so I just he showed it to me. I was impressed. It's a good looking record. I'm very happy. Happy for Hardlore. Happy for Cosmic Joke. It's a cool record for sure.
And we kind of saw this happening, like as it was coming together, which is cool.
Oh,
that's true.
Love it. Love all of it. Cosmic Joke is fast SoCal hardcore punk. The influences are maybe not what you expect from this teaming, but it's really cool. Major, major shout outs to the Hardlore dudes. Shout out to Sam, who's Triple B, who was a helpful person in this project as well. And obviously, shout out to our homies in Cosmic Joke. Get this record or pose. Full stop. Tom, there was another little Closed Casket exclusive that we wanted to highlight. What we got?
Closed Casket has a exclusive version of the Earth Crisis Firestorm reissue. It's a 12-inch. It's overseen by the band themselves. Yeah. It's the one that Closed Casket has is Glow in the Dark. It comes so it's on a 12-inch, 45 revolutions per minute. Mm. The B-side is the wrenches, you know, etched into the vinyl. And it comes with a 24-page book, like a 12x12 book of like photos and just like, you know, people being like, I remember when I saw them at, you know, More Than Music Festival in 1993, I knew things were changing. Or like how, like, you know, and how like pretty much like Firestorm changed music, like heavy music.
Yo, that's the story I've been told by many people.
It really has. I mean, I know people like are kind of sometimes loath to like admit like how much of an impact, but like Earth Crisis like changed when we talk about integrity, Earth Crisis changed hardcore.
Yeah, I don't think that's it's hard to deny.
The only so integrity gets all the kind of cred love and all that, but it's kind of the bands that people don't want to give it to that I would probably give it to. That would be Earth Crisis and Hatebreed. You know, like two bands that in my life, in real time, in what I could observe up close, changed the whole landscape. Really remarkable.
Right, and you saw it.
Yeah,
no question. Cool. Pushed hardcore closer to metal immediately, overnight, in a specific way. And in the long term, Earth Crisis is probably as canonical as the Discord stuff if you're talking broadband hardcore.
Yep. And you know what? Mm. All these years later, they're all still straight edge.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
You know what I'm saying? Think about all the straight edge bands that like rubbed it in your face for the 80s and 90s. How many of them are still straight edge?
Just saying. You know, I don't want to
obviously straight edge, but
no, listen, I don't want to when you find something funny, if it's dark, sometimes people think that you're advocating for something dark, right? Like that you like that happened just because you're able to find the humor in it or whatever. But there's a couple of the straight edge dudes, kind of had some like, you know, and look, if you pull out of a thing, God bless. But they had a couple of the guys in that scene had some bad years. And in some ways, it's kind of funny because, you know, you can only bark on people so much about things and then kind of prove yourself to be a little bit of a hypocrite and not have people go, yeah, it's a little bit funny that you're living out of your truck. You know what I mean? Like it's a tiny bit funny. You know what I mean? So, but that is not Earth Crisis.
No. So
they might be living out of their trucks, but. And that's
the very curious 24 page 12 by 12 booklet, still
straight edge.
Earth Crisis Firestorm exclusive closed casket activity.
Respect to reissues that come with extra stuff.
Yes, closed casket activity.
Yeah, I agree.
Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
Listen,
I'm eating I can be able to get the end.
You want to know who did our job for us? So, Bob, you said, hey, for tonight's episode, why don't you guys bring some just quick topics, things that we can just shoot at each other, you know?
Yes.
And literally a minute after that, Twitter user Greg Hall, at To Feel Healed, just made a list. Not at my request, but it was like the cosmos did it. Because he just listed he listed everything that happened this week. So it's Battle Jacket Twitter, FYA Hall Floor Piss, Death Metal Kids Claim They Lay Out People Who Mosh, Big Light on at Shows, Slur Mosh Calls Are Back, Nepo Baby on Corn Show, Ladder in the Mosh Pit, MGK Ronnie Radke Meltdowns, $80 Hoodie versus $10 Show, Revolver Nazi Band Cover.
Okay.
Now,
I know all of those. Oh my God, I gotta get off the internet.
Hit them all. Let's hit them all really quick before you do. I'm going to tease an episode that'll either be next week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks. Guys, first pulling back the curtain, I spent, as you guys know, I got a family, some young ones, just did redo the house, this whole thing. Last week, I finally had the first day where I had uninterrupted time to sit and like work on podcast stuff, do this or that, the other. So I was like, yo, you know what? We haven't done a year in hardcore in a long time. Let me crank out this year in hardcore. Let me just do it. Let me do the work. I did the randomizer. The year popped up. I'm like, cool. Let me dive on this. Cool. I'm doing it. But you know what? Do you know what happens sometimes when you're going through literally 2,500 entries on Discogs? You get these flashes of deja vu from when you've done it before, right? For different years and different things. You're like, It's like, I look at my list. I'm like, no, this isn't a year we've done. No. Okay. All right. No, keep going. Wait a second. I feel like we've talked about a lot of records. Oh, all right. I keep going. 2 hours in, as I'm finishing up, I'm like, yo, some little record clicked. And I'm like, oh, shit. I actually go to the podcast itself and look at all the episodes. There it was. Yes, we did do the Year in Hardcore 1999 already. I lost 2 hours of time to working on something.
You were reminded of Integ 2000. I mean, you got
exactly
to live it again.
Right. Let me pull up the one that clicked. Let me see if I have it.
I lived this earlier today. So I had band practice earlier today.
Yes, sir.
And Justin Brandon comes in and he goes, "I need your help." I go, "Yeah, what's up?" He's like, "I listened to the entire Candaria discography."
Oh.
Wow. And he goes, "There's this one part." And he starts playing. I go, "Yeah, it's dan and dan and dan dan." It's on a keyboard. I go, "Yeah, I can hear it."
Yeah.
He's like, "Where is that?" I go, "Dude, it's a 30-second part in a fucking band that's when they need 70 minutes, they were like, "We're getting 70 minutes worth of music on this shit."
Yeah.
So he goes,
"CD, I go, oh, well,
the first record's not on there." Now he listened to like 7 records or whatever. I'm like, "The first record's not on streaming." He's like, "Dude, I went to YouTube and listened to the whole fucking thing."
Wow.
And like, it's driving him nuts. He looks like he's like been up nights, like trying to figure out this fucking, he's like, he goes, "Dude, this riff has been in my fucking head for 10 years. So when I sat down to start getting ready to record or whatever, and I'm like, "Let me just pull up Surrealistic Madness," which Pat knows because Candaria was like the fucking Kings of Albany as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm listening, you know, I'm going through and I go, it's going to fuck you because it's in the middle of a song that you don't expect it to be in the middle of.
Yeah.
It's not an intro. It's a fuck, you know.
Yeah.
So I get to the 7th song and there it's boo doo boo 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 doo. So I said it to him. I go, "How far into the discography you got when you got 7 songs into the first record and couldn't find it?" So he was like, "Dude, you don't understand how much this means. Like, it's finally out of my head."
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's, like, it's
yeah,
been
yeah.
10 years.
No, I understand. That's the feeling. It's,
but he like, you know, not that sitting listening to Candir is like, you know, but all in one chunk is a lot of fucking music.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Tom, here's a question for you that you couldn't possibly know. You couldn't possibly know the answer to, but is just speculate.
Sure.
When does Candiria get their day?
You know what? It was funny listening to it today. I mean, like, they're the ultimate band's band because there's like a full generation of music that it's not within our kind of bounds, but that are fucking huge. Like bands like Periphery and fucking like all these like
true,
you know, yep, like math metal bands, not like the botch bands, but like after that, like the more like death metal-y, they all owe it to Candiria. And like Candiria almost had like a reverse kind of fucking trajectory. They were the band that would like, they were so big that like they got a Friday at CB's.
Yep.
Yeah.
They didn't play matinees. They got like a Friday night sold out CB, you know, like we played a couple of their Friday shows, like us and them and Breakdown, like, you know, like, and like, I think they were huge. They did some stuff with Meshuggah. They did some stuff with Dillinger, you know, and then slowly but surely, you know, like they were doing okay. They broke up, came back, and like that record never really hit. But I'm like, yeah. I don't know if it's just not because they don't do a good job of like, you know, if they put out the first or second record on like Days or Streets of Hate or something, people would fucking lose their goddamn minds. But I think they do it themselves a lot of times. So you're selling the records to the nerds who already like you. I bought them because they're my homies and they're a great band. But like, I feel like if you put that music in front of kids that like fucking Tsunami or fucking anything, you'd be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah. I mean, it is genuinely heavy music, by the way, everyone. It's going to be brain melting mosh. Yeah, but it's going to be a challenge for a lot of our listeners. It's a challenge for me, and I practically grew up on this shit. You're right. It was around Albany in a big way, but it's entirely worth visiting if you're open to math metal, or if you are just sort of. If you're like, you know, you're open to Knocked Loose, you're open to like, you know, No Cure or something like that. But it's, you would like a little bit more squonk funk jazz in there.
Well, you can skip that. I'm going to
give it a go.
For the folks that are out there, the younger, older folks, that are not familiar, I'm going to make you a Candaria like Spotify mix that we'll share of like the metal. Because I mean, dude, you like the CDs are fucking 70 minutes long, but like you can narrow it down to like a 35 minute metal record.
Yes.
There's songs that are 11 minutes long about smoking weed that they're using like this pipes and this fucking keyboards and fucking
didgeridoos.
Yeah. It's like you don't need all that if you don't want that. But you can kind of parse it down. But I'll make everyone like a just the hits. That band, it's shocking that like for whatever reason, because there are bands from New York that I'm like, really? This?
Oh, yeah.
And like Candiria, like Candiria should be fucking, you know, big enough to be in like, oh, they're like right before Obituary on LDB or something. That's how like,
yeah,
because I mean, if you talk to Jamie Josta, he'll tell you that Hatebreed was influenced by Candiria. Like Irate was influenced by Candiria. Everybody was influenced by them in one way or another.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Kona lost the time. And I don't know if that's by choices, by like the tours they've taken or the things they've done since they've been back. Like they did a Warp Tour. I'm like, why would you do Warp Tour?
Yeah, that wasn't the best.
You're fucking Candiria.
I think it's almost better to not be able to play at that level. That's my view on this. I think it's a curse to be able to play on that level. You end up making decisions that run against people's, like what the casual listener wants, and you end up rarefying yourself too much.
If you like Meshuggah and stuff, like you can listen to it just and be like, that's heavy Maji. Or if you can be like, that's fucking 7/4 time. Like you can get like, it's like watching like a Pixar film.
That's true. There's levels. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like the holy fuck, this, what are these dudes doing?
Yeah, that's all true.
Squonk funk jazz.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to squonk funk jazz? Can I bring up two things before we start?
Yes, please. Yeah. Please.
We want to talk about important
GoFundMe's. Stuff to talk about. Yes, please.
GoFundMe's because hardcore for hardcore. We're going to go with the first one because it was the first one that was posted up. Jay, Crazy Jay Skin from Hardcore Legends Warzone. Fire broke out in his house in Queens. He had to go back in to get his wife, his kids, his mother, and animals. And he got really – his house obviously got really fucked up, and he got very injured.
Yeah.
So there's a GoFundMe out trying to help him kind of get some of his – hospital costs, some places for his family to stay while he's recuperating and all this other stuff. If you play hardcore, like straight up, like not Candiria hardcore, but like any type of meat and potatoes hardcore, you owe this dude a debt of gratitude. So whatever you can afford, go to the GoFundMe. You all steal his shit.
It's true.
You all steal Rabies look. Everyone's got a fucking chain around their neck. You know, with like a fucking padlock. That's because of fucking dudes like this. So
yeah, shout out to Crazy J Skin.
Yeah. So yeah, and we'll post the. It's hard to. It's a GoFundMe, but we'll post. So
we'll get the link up. Yep.
And then a more recent one, Miles from the band TS Warspite from the UK was involved in a terrible accident and is undergoing. He's in the hospital. He's in a coma. I think he's in the ICU over there. He was just here. I mean, this is how scary and how fast things move. He was just here for FYA last weekend.
Yep.
Got back home and got in an accident. But there's a GoFundMe going around for him. I'm sure you've seen that. It's made its way around the internet. And again, you know what I mean? $5 is a lot. You know what I mean? Anything you can do, you don't have to be the hero to throw five, you know, like if you don't know the guy and you like, you got an extra $5 and you just skip a coffee. If all of us looked out for each other and looked out with $5, it'd make a huge fucking difference. So those two GoFundMes we'll have in like maybe description of the episode, and we'll definitely put it out on our social media and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, please search them out, both for Jay Skin and our buddy from TS Warspite. Terrible stuff that happened. It's honestly, look, sometimes it feels like there's a lot of things like this that happen. It is one of the more admirable things that I see in hardcore on the regular is how people throw on. And it's not about the person who's like, I'm going to drop $100,000, whatever. Amazing if you can do that. It's about how many people throw down $5, $20, just a little bit that they can spare that day. to make somebody else's significant traumatic incident bearable. So thank you for listening to this stuff. We appreciate it. We appreciate everybody, Appreciation of Hardcore, for doing that. And it's not unnoticed. It's a unique quality of this community. So
yes, thank you, everybody. And I want to talk about what's up with these goddamn lights at these hardcore. No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
real quick, because my Hardcore 99 dive can't be a complete waste. I don't remember us talking about the Albany style hardcore comp 1999. So, Patrick, we're going to get you on for a minute of that, because this was the Albany style comp was done by Dave Stein in the late 80s. Right. And in the late 90s, they did a second volume, which is kind of cool. The bands were By the Throat, Police Line, Devoid of Faith, and Monster X. Now, if there were, it was a Devoid of Faith scene and a One King Down scene, you definitely would have been more on the One King Down side of scene there in Albany. Is that correct, Patrick?
That's right. Although one of my longest musical collaborators in life is a Police Line veteran. So, life is funny.
Give us some Police Line talk. Go. Describe Police Line to me like I'm Wilson from Westchester.
Sure. Picture in your mind dreadlock mohawks and zines with names like the Dresden Communique, talking about the evils of war and telling you where to meet up for food, not bombs. But it's not terribly, this is hard to explain. Okay. Winston from Westchester. This is a generational thing. What passed for super progressive 25 years ago is not now. Which is the nature of the world. There was a time in punk where simply by being anti-war, which is, by the way, the most basic of humanist fucking positions.
You were really
by being anti-war.
Yeah.
You were really spitting.
So, damn, they hate war.
So, look, I actually have I never liked a lot of that music. I go on record as saying Amoebics is maybe legitimately the only thing that falls into the crust rubric that I think is essential, right? And I understand that there's something about the aesthetic that appeals to a lot of people, but musically so much of the stuff is really actually more varied than anybody ever gives it credit, but very rarely good. And kind of on the fast hardcore, fast punk end of crust, like, you know, kind of the pre-stadium crust, but after. Sorry, everybody.
This is sort of, it is not 90s crust. It is faster. It is more hardcore. It is closer to Krudos than it is to Os Rock.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. So good pull there, because Krudos was an inspiration for, I would speculate, everything that came out of Albany for quite a time. There was a great admiration there. On this comp, we have listeners that were in Devoid of Faith, and they may disagree with this, but Devoid of Faith actually had more of their own sound than a lot of bands of that type.
100%.
And part of it was kind of the, how do I frame this? It's not stadium crust at all, but nope. there is more playing going on than a lot of fast hardcore oriented crust
there's a competency crust to it, especially compared to some of the peer bands. And that's not all. Like the best of this world are people who are doing fast hardcore punk with punk leans and didn't mind being dirty and wasn't super concerned about production, but their competency as musicians also kind of couldn't be fucked with. They were good. They were really good.
I think it's just like, if you can,
a band like Devoid of Faith, it goes for a band like Nine Chocks, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It basically, can you land the guitar parts with 10% extra flair? Okay, then you are in a different range than some hardcore bands. That's all. Than the mean hardcore band, right? Monster X, you said, was on this? Okay, so Monster X is a fascinating band.
Tom, he's just giving us the money's worth for that deep dive today. All right, thank you.
Wow.
Go ahead.
To say they did their own thing would be an understatement. That's a truly weird band. Kind of like, I don't know, death metal adjacent vocals done through a bass amp. Just sounds, but they obviously had not just an affinity, but like a competency at hardcore. Like I think they did Youth of Today covers, but with
yeah, those yeah. ridiculous like all vocals youth group and, covers. Yeah. Yeah. With Cookie Monster vocals.
And,
yeah.
So did it, does it stand up in 2024? Probably not, but whatever, man, it was a time. I always have, John Sturex is, a Capital Region original. You know what I mean? That's a man who marches to the beat of his own drum. Do I consider this comp essential? In no way.
Here's my question.
Monster X is an all-time hardcore name.
It's fun.
It is an all-time.
Oh, Monster X, great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Monster X? Monster X is one of the best hardcore names I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's great.
Patrick, final question regarding this and the Albany-style hardcore of this era. Would you rather mosh for Police Line or Burning Bridges?
Probably Burning Bridges. Probably.
Yeah,
Burning
come
Bridges.
On. You know it. You know it.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Let's go. All right. This is my only contribution, and then we're going to hit the Patrick's Fast Topics as well as whatever else you guys got. We are going to do a year in hardcore very soon. I am also debuting, not Wilson from Westchester, or even Winston from another Westchester, as Patrick sometimes calls him, Willie from Wallingford.
Wow.
He's your old buddy who hasn't been to a hardcore show in a while.
Fuck.
Oh, get ready. So we're going to get
Connecticut or Jersey.
Wallingford's Connecticut. It was so close. Please believe it was really Willie from Warminster, but I didn't want people from Pennsylvania to think we were just shooting them, because we ain't. So it's Willie from Wallingford.
Connecticut, gotcha. There you go.
Come on, Connecticut. All right, Patrick, hit us with this list of topics that you stole from somebody's tweet.
All right.
Just give it one at a time.
Okay, Battle Jacket Twitter.
What the hell is that?
Okay,
Tom, without knowing, Tom, what is Battle Jacket Twitter?
I'm not 100% sure what that one's about, but I think it's probably like somebody that you wouldn't think would be wearing a punk jacket, wearing a jacket that said like Dead Kennedys on it or something, right?
Okay.
No, so Battle Jacket Twitter is the people that were mad, the metal people that were mad about Dying Fetus playing a hardcore festival, which I went looking for and I couldn't find. I'm taking it on face value that this is a real person in the world. I don't know. I kept seeing.
No, you know, now that you say that, there was some pushback.
Okay.
Like that right. Fucking mosh wouldn't happen if I was there.
Oh, okay. So,
people were like hardcore moshing for Dying Fetus.
So what would have some metal dude done? Like kicked somebody in the face? I don't know. Like
bro, that would happen to me, bro.
Yeah, wouldn't we be excited?
On the surface of the sun where they were moshing? Like, yeah, the but yeah, like those like dudes that go see Dying Fetus only, you know, at metal shows were like, that would fucking try that in my town. That's what they were doing pretty much.
Yeah.
More. All right. I am pro this conversation. Next up, Patrick, what do we got next?
Next up, we got FYA Hall Floor Piss. I saw one tweet about this. Apparently, there was some piss, I guess.
Somebody urinated in one of the areas.
All right, so that's, I do have
an... Chuck, the main space is carpeted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
So if you pee over there, like, come on, man.
Ever clean piss out of carpet, guys?
In my life, dog,
yeah.
Many times, both from a dog and then children. But that's why we do hardwood now. Cleaning out dog piss out of carpet is outrageous.
Right, because it brings up all the smells. But
yes.
Yeah, I mean, because it was like, you know, what happens, like, you know, it was like a turnstile pooper boyfriend, FYI peeing girlfriend. Like, remember they would, like, when it was.
Yes.
So already I'm in on this topic also. This is the level hardcore conversation should be at.
There's no way that with the amount of people that were there and just, like, everyone who's, like, doing the fest, helping out with the fest, like, no one dropped trow, man or woman. And peed.
Yeah, you never know. I don't know.
You just stand there and like let people it happen.
You know what? I think inside job.
Like, could hey, be. Turn around for a second. I'll slip you a fiver.
I'm not saying it's Bob.
Could be though.
I'm saying Kevin Hare, maybe.
He was just so excited.
It might be Team FYI. I think it's just more like, oh man, it's a little busy. And it's like, hey, who cares? Just go right there.
It could be.
FYA,
Kevin Hare is a wonderful guy. We are not. He's merging Kevin.
He knows.
When the turnstile poop thing came out, I buried turnstile. I said it was fucking Pat.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
You name names, but all right. I believe it was the first time I met Bob Wilson, the actual fine purveyor of FYA. Shout out. And like straight up, this was the 10th year of FYA. He's been doing it for 10 years.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Awesome. So cool. I met him. I booked Let Down on a show I did at a cultural center in San Fernando Valley in a not very nice part, kind of on the far east side of the valley. I'm trying to remember where it was, what town, but it was fucked up. I'm trying to remember who else even booked, but fucked up. Maybe Mugre and Let Down for sure played. But Let Down played. Before the show starts, somebody's like, hey, man, the toilet is all clogged. Something's wrong. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And it was, and it started leaking out onto the carpet.
Hate it.
So what I'm trying to say is, Bob, maybe you're back up to your old tricks because he flooded that back.
Fuck.
Shout out.
Wow, I know way too much stuff about people's biological functioning.
All right, I'm going to keep going.
Pro that topic. Yes, all in. Let's go. Two for two here.
Okay.
Twitter hardcore rocks.
This is connected to Battle Jacket Twitter. Death metal kids claim they lay out people who mosh. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was like a candor.
Yeah, it's just everybody. There's no evidence of this. I've been to metal shows. Come on.
All right, have you been to like a moshy metal show? Have you been to an obituary show? Or what happened?
I have only because sometimes Drug Church will be in the same venue as sometimes Drug Church will be
downstairs from fucking Deicide upstairs. Have you ever gone to watch? It's whack.
I've watched like 10 minutes. Can I put my cards on the table?
With the crowd reaction. It's whack. Hardcore kids dance harder.
I'm going to put my cards on the table with this because metal's going to come up several times in this list. So to you two fellas, I'm Mr. Metalcore, where I've got like this level of that type of shit that I'm willing to go into that you fellas are not as interested in. But
yes,
compared to the average kid in 2023, I'm like, fuck it, I'm in Warzone. Because
that's correct. You're closer to that than not. Yes, that's right.
Because fucking metal to me is the goofiest shit in the world. And like, I can only enjoy it through the lens that it is purely tongue in cheek and that nobody is being serious about what they're doing. And as soon as people in metal try to serious up on me, it's like, come on, man. I'm an adult who still really enjoys hardcore. I would think I'm the fucking limit of goofiness, and you are you're putting me to the test with it. You are so fucking goofy. What are you doing? So I almost have to bow out of metal conversations.
This may be the first one that I'm out on because it is funny, but I do, you know, like, look, the average big mosh hardcore show pit is harder than most. I mean, if you go to if you go to a smaller metal show, you're lucky if there's any sort of pit, and then it's beyond goober like levels. Like,
yeah.
Prove us wrong. Send us your 300 cap room with a really cool looking pit for a young or unheard of metal band, because metal by nature is half interested, half in, half out on the pit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Most bands who claim metal aren't going for pit at all. So, I do like the goofiness of this conversation, but that's what it is, purely goofy. Next topic.
Big light on at shows. I've made my feelings on that clear.
Yeah. This one feels like last week's garbage. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, this guy has done a good job of aggregating all the shit from the last.
Yeah, he summed. Yeah, we're all in on this guy who's giving us this week's content. Thank you.
Slur Mosh calls, quote, are back. Now this one, this came and went.
I was talking and my fucking mic was off because I didn't want you guys hearing coughing.
Oh,
and I'm like, well, hello. I'm sorry, that was my bit, because I was like, why is he just talking over me, this fuck? And I was like, speaking to the purveyor of FOIA, one of his like archetype hardcore videos is No Warning from Posse Numbers. Remember that it's from the
2003.
Back.
Yep,
and it's all lit up. And he's like, that's what like my archetype for hardcore videos are. And then he said, I'm sorry, I didn't go to metal shows with blinking lights and stuff. And I'm like, CB's. Like, what do you think I was going? But that's like, so I mean, seeing it that way, it makes a lot more sense, because that is an iconic hardcore video.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is.
Listen, we've all got our perversions. I don't share that one. because that's to me, it's hideous to look at. Okay. So slur mosh calls are back. This is maybe, I checked out of this one early cause I was recording, but I have a very unpopular opinion. Do you guys want to get off your probably more popular opinions before I bury
us? Or do you want us to save you?
Yeah.
I might need you to say that's a good point.
Go in, cheer captain. Let's go.
Okay. Does using that F word that gets me in trouble if I say it. All right. So I'm not with Tom that this is like an immediate bummer to me. And the reason for that is just because I see it as waves. There was a time that was used all the time, and I was there. And while there was some homophobic sentiment in that moment, there was a lot of machismo and whatever. At the end of the day, I won't use anybody's name. I don't know if we talked about this on the air or whatever, but I recently talked to a dude from one of those scenes where that was the thing. He was in a heavy ass fucking mosh band with all type of affiliations, fights at every show, the fucking blah, blah, blah. He's come out since then. And there's not a person in his world that, maybe one or two, I think he said, but basically he found out that more of the homies were gay than he ever knew in the day. Right. Like a lot of people, and it's not all the kind of like language that was negative that like people would say like, oh, that's a slur or whatever. It didn't seem to impact anybody's actual human to human experience at the end of the day. Now, it doesn't mean anybody wants to hear that. And particularly if you are coming from an outside perspective, this is your first hardcore show. Oh shit. What is this shit? Right. So I'm not pro the use of this fucking word, but what I am saying is, these things come in waves. And what I've seen the last 3 months, and I know that's not a very long amount of time, but the last 3 months has been a hard pivot back to to kids being comfortable using this word. And everybody, yes. No matter where you fall on any type of progressive spectrum, you have to confess to yourself that it's basically the kids that make the fucking rules. So I try not to use that word in my life. I've said this before, and forgive me to our listeners. I am of a certain age where that is the word that you use when you want a man to fight you. So can I say that I would never use that word? No, I cannot say that. But I can say that it is not necessarily what I want to see at shows. That said, I also think that there is a context of a changing moment. That's all.
Yeah, I'll speak more to the changing moment. this is the overcorrection. This is the pendulum swing, and this is the thing that we see. Do I believe that people should be able to use words and say words? Yes, I do. Do I believe that sometimes those words come with consequences? And those consequences, I'm not trying to be like Mr. Threat. That's not what this is. When you use words, people will think about how you're using them, why you're using them, what context, all that stuff, right? And that could be on a day-to-day. If you mispronounce a word every time you say it, if I said, pass the salami every time I wanted a salami sandwich, people might be like, that dude's dumb as hell. He doesn't know how to pronounce salami, And that goes over and over on micro levels of everything. People who want to use that word.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go with God. People who are using that word now, basically because it's a reaction to sort of this pearl clutching, hey, nobody used these words, they're banned words, etc. of the last few years. Just know the overcorrection might feel differently in a few years. You might feel like, man, you know what? I'll say this from personal experience with friends who have used language that they're not proud of years later. Because they go, you know what? Did it ruin their lives? No. Did it cost them a job? No. Did it cost them a spouse? No. Did it cost them any friendships? Mostly no. But do they look back and go, you know what? I wish I didn't say that shit. Yeah. Will that be everybody's experience? Hell no. So that's just my larger, broad view of this kind of conversation. Big topic for us to discuss further in a different place, but largely I'm nowhere on this topic. It's a sad thing to me that we can't find a place where people understand that they shouldn't be policing each other's behavior, but that also sometimes it's like, maybe don't say the thing that hurts people for no real reason.
Well, I don't want to jump in on Tom. I'll let you get your shit off. But I just want to say that the thing that occurred to me when this discourse was going on is, as a dude that feels comfortable in that environment with dudes saying that and feels comfortable and has, or at least has done a trillion shows at the Safe Space Zine Library spots as well.
Yep.
I was just wondering, is it not possible to have these spaces where people have in-group language that they're comfortable with and they use and whatever, and it's, for lack of a better word, sorry, safe space, where they don't gotta, like, do I think that the fella that said that shit has any malice towards homosexuals at all? No. not a fucking ounce.
Right. Exactly right.
So with that understanding, if everybody in that room, it's what I say about crowd killing and head walking, all sorts of bullshit. If everyone in that room understands the game, then fuck right. it. Close the door. Have a good time. You know what I'm saying?
But not everybody in that room, though.
That's right.
No. Okay.
And
that's
how do you
fair
check everyone? How do you check in? And it's easy for you to be like, it doesn't bother me. I'm comfortable in situations like that. There are other things and other words that you're not comfortable with people using.
Sure.
And someone would be like, well, what's the problem? It's a joke,
absolutely.
Man. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? So like, I think like that's your own shit being like, this doesn't bother me because it's like, Maybe you don't have a gay family member. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, but I mean, like, to me, I know it's always been a part of it. And hardcore and punk is about fucking saying the shit that gets people riled up. You know what I mean? And we all know people that say that those words, like, pretty, you know,
liberally.
Liberally. And people that I know that are actually liberal in real life.
Sure.
Oh, I mean,
no, people that I like respect, that I go, this person's got a good head on their shoulders. They'll every once in a while be like, ah, dude's a blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's shocking.
Sure.
Well, but to well, me,
let me say. Kid,
okay. Let me just, I'll shut up.
No, sorry.
No, I think if I, as a new kid, I don't know if I would go to a show. If I went to a show and I didn't know what was going on and I heard that language, as a new young kid, think about the young generation. It's a lot different from when you were going to fucking, you know, the QE2 to see fucking Stigmata, whatever, right, where everyone was on the same page and you were the softest dude in the room because everyone else is a fucking monster. Like, if I'm a young kid and I don't know what's going on, and I walk in, that is the equivalent of, like, we're like, you know, you get beat up at your first show, you either go, that was awesome, can't wait to do it again, or I'm never coming back here.
Sure.
And I think now, like, there's so many young people that are far more sensitive than we were. We were grown up to be, you know, like, well, we were growing up to be that, like, you know, if I was 19, I went some show. I mean, I've been to shows where people, bands that we love, use that term quite liberally.
Yeah.
I didn't go, fuck this, I'm walking out, this band can suck a dick, I'm never listening to them again.
Right.
But I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, like, it's not something that I would do. And I don't judge. I mean, like, but I mean, I just think, I don't know if it's necessary.
Right.
There's so many other words in the English language. But I mean, and that's not to anybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, like, but it happens all the time. It's not, this was not an isolated incident. So many bands do that and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and like, that's it. And the thing is, you know, most of the people that do it, they're like, they're not saying it in a hateful way.
Oh, no. I mean, look,
they're calling out the crowd for stop being, you know, get out, you know, punch somebody.
Look, let's I don't know the gentleman that sings in the band, so let me just be clear about this. When that was happening, there was you know, because I follow no one, so I get drowned in For You's, right? Like the recommended algorithm.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
once
yeah.
you look sure. at this, you get drowned. And you know, there was a tweet just innocuous enough that said, hey, everybody, think whatever you want about the circumstance, but just for some context, I'm a trans woman, and this singer would twist someone's head off their body on my behalf.
I saw that.
So, say whatever you want to say, but there's a context to this person that perhaps, like, you know, like perhaps this word in a vacuum can't account for, right? So, like,
that's right.
And I think that speaks to.
Right? Isn't that a shame, though?
Well,
isn't that a shame that, like, you're painting yourself with such a broad brush by using a word that people will decide what kind of a human being you are just off.
There's a lot of,
but man, I mean, look,
there's a way too that the person says, look, I don't care if somebody's going to judge me by
exactly.
using a word, you know? And I get it. I get all the angles. Cause I honestly, you know, don't judge someone by their best moment or their worst moment. And I say that don't judge someone by their best moments or worst moments, plural. There's a lot to life and there's a lot to it. And, you know, actions speak louder than words. However, it is also an unavoidable truth that the words you choose to use will sometimes precede you. And some people will just make a decision about it. That is unfortunate. I think all three of us understand that and agree that, hey, there's people I know who might use language I don't appreciate or think is maybe not reflective of the quality of human that they are, or might paint them in a certain way that isn't actually who they are. But at the same time, I don't put it on myself to be the person who says, hey, change this, do this differently. People who I'm close to, I'll have that conversation. I've had that conversation with close friends. It's valuable.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting, but it's not. Well, also not. Yeah.
be on the lookout for my power violence record, No Man's Cop. You know what I mean? Because I just I don't got the time to police right. anybody. Period. You know what I mean? So yeah. fuck it. Can I? Unless you guys wanted to hammer this one more, can I get on to the Nepo?
I think we're on to go on to another. Tom, are you feeling good? I mean,
sure
on this topic, but
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have brought that up at all. Yeah.
All right, so Nepo babies on corn show. What do you know about it?
Nothing.
Tom,
Nepo babies on corn. Oh, okay.
Now, I mean, some of these bands are like, oh, it's a guy from fucking Slipknot's kid or something.
No, different. Okay, different one. There's a UK band called Wargasm, or maybe they're okay. band. I think they're UK band. They're somebody's kid. And Tom, look that one up for me if you can.
Will do, man. Can't wait.
look it up for me. It's somebody's kid, and this is a big room problem that doesn't have anything to do with hardcore to me. Like we could talk about it on this podcast because we talk about a lot of shit that's not hardcore on this podcast, but this is like a goofy style of music that doesn't matter to anybody with any type of interest in subculture. I don't want to say it's like a put together band. It's just not.
Are we sure it's Wargasm?
I'm pretty sure. Let me see. Wargasm.
Okay. All right. I just love these
singer
moments.
Milky Way. Wasn't there a Wargasm back in the early 90s?
There's definitely different some thing. Kind of
like a thrash battle.
Yeah. How could you not? How can there not be multiple bands named Wargasm?
Yeah.
It's too good.
I mean, it's incredible.
Okay, so what's the deal? Get to the dirt here.
Milky Way or Sam Matlock is related to somebody, is what you're saying.
Oh, is it the kid from Matlock?
It is.
It's Matlock's child. It's Matlock's grandchild.
That's a billionaire. That's the billionaire. Like, right? Like Matlock? Everybody's grandparents thought that was the best TV. It was like Mr. Ed and Matlock, and that was it.
It was on every waiting room in America.
Whose fucking kid is this?
I think that's what they were watching kid, on help. Cocoon. Get on Oatmeal Man
Croc or something.
It's his kid. Walter Brimley?
Whose
it's Walter Brimley's Nepo kid.
Sam Matlock. Who is Sam Matlock's father? Anyways,
or like this Siri. Is like, what are we doing? Come on, let's go.
I don't know. There's like a.
Oh, his son. He's the son of Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols.
Oh, is that right? Okay, there you go. So, whatever. Here's the deal. It's just this is a band that is half a creation. You know, it's half a not real thing or whatever. And English people seemingly love it and hate it. And this is a thing for Brits. I don't know why. Just ignore bands like this. It's not a real fucking thing.
Also, shout out to Glenn Matlock. Also, his band after the Sex Pistols was Rich Kids. So that all ties together. Let's go. Next topic. This is boring.
There you go.
Yeah, topic fucked.
Maybe next topic. next topic is Ladder in the Mosh Pit.
Yes, I would do it.
2024. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's always some kind of a TV or a couch or a garbage can or some kind of thing that are being used for other things in a mosh pit. I feel like that's standard, especially at a heavy hardcore show. Like, if there's not something in the pit, you're like, that was pretty tame.
You know, I fell off a ladder like 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I think my hip's still fucked up. Ain't fun. Not even a tall ladder. I say it. I fell off like a 7-foot ladder onto the floor in my house, and it hurt real
That's
bad.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So.
And they make it look easy on cartoons, but it's not.
No. So let's see. On that scale. Like, what is a more dangerous item to have in the pit than a ladder? Like, more dangerous.
I thought that the.
Folding
no,
chair?
Chair's fine. Ladder's okay. I thought that the
wheelbarrow,
the halogen lights, the lights that go in the Ooh. Fluorescent light, not fluorescent, whatever Don't the like fucking
those. yeah. Over the long overhead tube lights, death lights. Yes, yeah,
yeah. The ones, yeah, exactly. Those are terrible for a pit because yes, they break. Yes, they use them in wrestling. Most of us are not built like wrestlers. If you hit me in the neck and one of those things breaks on my neck, it's just, it, there's potential for real problems. So I think that's a bad one.
Tom, would you rather be in a pit where they're doing a wall of death, but everybody is holding wheelbarrows, or go in a pit where there is two ladders that you have to
two ladders.
You want the two ladders. Okay, I'm with it. All right.
Yeah, because the other ones, you're getting hit in like right around the knee area.
Oh, yo.
And they're coming right at you. There's no way. Yeah, I'd rather
that's,
like.
That's like a 6-month bruise too, right? Like getting hit on the knee there.
Like, right. And I feel like a ladder is so big for the most part. It's going to, like, if you see it coming at you, you can prepare yourself.
Yeah, it's a little bit unruly.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But it's not like something like you can throw really quickly. Like, you can prepare yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we're officially a pro ladder in the pit podcast. All right,
sure.
Next one.
MGK Ronnie Radke meltdowns.
All right, really quick before this, MGK meltdown. Did you guys see that MGK was stepping out with Halsey? I thought he was with Megan Fox. Like, what's the deal?
No, I think those are early photos. I think those predate.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. This is recent.
Oh,
the Halsey photos are recent. Now they might be friends, but they looked very friendly. I hope I'm not TMZing right here, but like I saw these photos and I immediately Googled to see if MGK and Megan Fox were having issues.
I mean, but you know what though? I just want to throw it out there. If Megan Fox, if you're having trouble, holler at your boy. I'll take care of it. You know,
it's good.
I'm out there. I'm single.
Yeah, you know. No, he will.
It's true. No, yeah. You know what? Patrick, you're right. This is an older photo.
Here's my thing. Everybody, I know that this is not about MGK specifically. We're going to get into the Ronnie Radke of it all, but these MGK characters, these figures, stop making them, right? They like, just stop creating these people. It's like the more you hate them, the more power that they have, the more that they dig into this weird little fucking whatever this thing is that they're doing, fucking identity.
They exist solely on attention, fucking commodity. That's it. They only exist because you give them more attention. Yeah, that's it. Suck.
Like, there's not an adult living human being who finds anything charming about that person. Just let it wash over. It's fine. It's goodbye, MGK. The best of luck with. I hope you save your money. Ronnie Radke.
Let's talk about this bad boy.
Okay, so
what's his deal?
I guess
do people know him from?
He was in some band, and now he's in Falling in Reverse.
Saying that like it's minor threat? Like Bob's like, oh yeah, of course.
Oh, Falling in Reverse. Yeah. Escape the fate. He's an American singer. Escape the Fat. American singer, songwriter, rapper, musician, and record producer. Best known as singer of Falling in Reverse and former lead singer of Escape the Fate. This dude desperately wants to be a hair metal guy, even though he was born in 1983. Is that correct? Like, that's his whole shtick is to be like outrageous,
yeah.
Right?
Macho.
He's on Epitaph Records. Like, yes. Fuck this fucking loser. What are we talking about?
So macho hair metal where, you know, like they listen to, they like MMA, but they're kind of like about the looks and everything, whatever. It's a whole thing. It's very Vegas identity sort of shit. I'm going to say something wild and, just say that I've met this man in passing twice and he was very nice both times.
The friendliest guy you'll ever meet. I love it.
So that's all I have to say. And actually,
Would you eat a falafel with him?
Yeah, sure. And actually,
he needs a ride to the airport.
It's a lot.
Go ahead.
It's a lot, Ronnie. But there's
he would drive
one of our most beloved hardcore. One of our most beloved hardcore bands of the last 20 years has a story about this guy, where they're like, yeah, he was really kind of nice. So, at any rate, this guy is. I mean, he does not respond well to criticism. And I guess what happened was somebody criticized a guitar. Tom, help me pick this one up if you know more than I do.
So MGK came out with a guitar that was the body of the guitar was a razor blade.
Sure.
I did see this.
So then the dudes from like San Squigabog and Stabbed and a few other bands were like, yo, if I see anybody playing this, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And then Roddy Rocky was like, how about you fight me, bro? I'm fucking a psychopath or whatever. And then like, then all the pictures would come out of the dudes. He literally referred to himself as a psychopath. And then people would just respond. Like the two dudes that he's like going off at like mostly are like giant.
Yeah.
Like muscle guy. Like, and not like muscle. It's not muscle for show.
Right.
Right.
You know, dudes that are like, oh, you're shredded. That's like awesome. These are like, oh, you're like super thick and like could break somebody's neck.
Right. Right.
These dudes are like both like jacked fucking like metal hardcore dudes that are now like going back and forth. Like, and did you see Pat in part of this? And I don't know, it must have been a joke, but someone reached out to Jake and asked if those bands had any openings during a certain period of time because Ronnie Radke wanted them to play with Falling in Reverse.
Fuck.
I don't know how true that is.
I saw that too. Yeah.
Jake posted the email, but I was like, I hope this is, if it's real, it's amazing.
I don't understand. Okay, let me say this. I'm going to be very vague. I was reminded of a beef I forgot I had, but it is a person that I legitimately fucking do not like. And it's come to my attention that I'm going to have to be around him for some amount of time. Mm. And all I could think was, I can be conflict oriented or I can bring money home to my family. And so, the answer was very simple for me. So I don't get all this conflict shit, right? Like, I understand that the kids and Stabbed for the love of God, the name is so tough for me.
San Squigabog.
You say it really well.
No, so, I think I butcher it. It takes me like four. I get it like once in four, like once every three times. So that would make me whole.
I try so hard. I try on most words.
I can't do it at all.
And Guizigabug. Boom.
I understand these dudes are just having a good time. I get it.
Oh, but they're taking the pit.
But I'm not sure Ronnie is Mr. Radke. I don't know. I don't know him.
We'll ask him at Falafel next week. We're fine. We'll find out. So, everybody, just chill. We're on Sanguisugbog's team, but if Ronnie
only kind of, week, I thought the guitar was no stupider than any other guitar.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Ronnie's going to be nice. Let's see if he buys us food next week. That's fine.
I mean, Ronnie had beef with my boy Lorenzo from Sworn Enemy. So anyone who got beef with Lorenzo, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's going to have to buy us a lot of food for that one.
So last item, because I don't know what $80 hoodie versus $10 show is. I assume that's just what it says. I don't know who is being
yelled. I think that was something that would bring me the horizon.
Oh, okay. Again, is that possible? Hey, everybody.
Like, why are we talking
British
about
British problems? Yeah, British problems. I don't know what any of that shit is. So, okay.
But I mean, they're not a fucking hardcore band anymore. All right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is not hardcore at all, this next thing I'm going to say. And Bob, I don't imagine you have a fucking clue on this one. Tom, you might.
Mm.
Revolver Nazi band cover.
Yes.
I saw this, actually.
I know this.
Okay. Wow. All right. Go on.
Explain it, Tom. What's the deal?
So they had this band, Brutality Will Prevail, on the cover. Okay. And like someone, journalist.
Is that what it is? Brutality Will Prevail?
You have another name for it?
I don't know. Isn't there a slaughter? Isn't there a slaughter to prevail too? What is
it?
Fuck these fucking bands, man.
Sergeant.
Listen, can we just end on fuck these fucking bands?
This is really, so
well, I don't want to. Before we start fucking slighting this band, let's make sure we're doing the right one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it's not Slaughtering the Dogs. It's not.
No, it's Slaughter to Prevail. I don't know. Is there slaughter a Brutality Will Prevail?
Hold on. Let's see. Brutality to Prevail.
Yes. Yes. There's Brutality Will Prevail. There's Slaughter to Prevail. Which one is this?
Slaughter. Sorry, Brutality Will Prevail. May you long live.
Slaughter to Prevail is a Russian deathcore band from Yekaterinburg and is now based in Orlando, Florida. That's got to be an interesting move. Okay. All right. So
this guy was viral. Mm-hmm. Because there's a part, like, they're playing some fucking giant fucking festival. And he does his, like, fucking oinky, whatever the fuck, like the pig growl without a microphone. But you hear it, like, fucking 50 feet away. It's, like, actually fucking insane. So this dude, if you look at him, like, he's, like, twice bears.
Tom, is that tracks or is it tracks or is his voice just that fucking strong?
No, it's his. It's his. It's insane. So they do this thing about him and how he came to America, how they started. They're like this real big band and blah, blah, blah. And he moved to America, blah, 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 whatever. But like someone that I like follow, or maybe it was in my For You, who's like a pretty reputable, writer was like, cool, Revolver having this fucking night. I'm like, all right, maybe they, let me look it up. And then like, there's like parts in the article where he's like, I used to hang out with anti-fascists and they didn't really have any plans for the future. But then, like, I made friends with all these fascist dudes, and they have, like, plans, and, like, they work out every day. And I remember being like, and I was like, what the fuck? Now, hold on. Yo. Bam. Let me find the exact, but it was almost to the letter. Like, that's why
I compared it. I mean, here's the thing. I believe what he's saying is his experience. I believe that they did have a definite plan. I guess he respects that decisiveness.
Hold on, let me see.
He just liked having plans. You know what I mean? It's like the choice between like, oh, what do you want to do for dinner? I don't know. What do you want to do? Versus, hey,
right? That's very frustrating.
We're having soup tonight, and tomorrow night we're gonna have salads, and the night after that we're gonna go out for Ethiopian, and the night after that we're gonna kind of see what's around, probably do a little soup thing. And then Friday night is open. So, and I'm not going to make your,
may I read from you?
Please.
Please. Oliver.
After quitting drugs in the wake of his overdose, he found a new group of friends who were dedicated to sports, reading, and other strengthening pursuits, but were also
fascism.
I used to hang out with anti-fascist guys and they didn't give a shit about anything in their lives, but partying, he says, but this new group encouraged Sheikh Ali, who was vulnerable, existentially lost and searching for positive influence, to take control of his life through athletics and mental stimulation. I was not a Nazi and did not share their political views, he clarifies. He laughs in embarrassment at how absurd it was to jump from anti-fascist to fascist friend groups. Quote, I just liked that they were into sports, were smarter than my previous friends, and clearly saw goals in their life.
All right.
Well, and he also has a tattoo of the black sun symbol.
Okay. Oh, well, that's not good.
An icon.
I was going to say, Germany. Listen. I was going to say perhaps there's a like a language thing going on or cultural differences or whatever, but the Black Sun is not, that's not one that has.
He's getting it covered up. When I was young, I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of stupid shit. Right now, maybe I still make mistakes, but because I'm 30 years old, I have to be a fucking adult to take responsibility.
Okay. Oh, you know what?
August 23, Sheikh Ali caused controversy once again when he waded into LGBTQ discourse on Instagram by repeating an unproven right-wing talking point that children are being brainwashed into changing their gender. Hey, buddy, you almost made it.
Yeah. That's a hard one. That's a hard one to talk about, and particularly hard if people can just say, hey, remember when you were a Nazi every time you talk.
Right. No matter, you could be like, say the coolest thing. You're like, remember that time you had a black sun tattooed on you?
Remember when you started hanging out with fascists
because they like sports.
And working out and made plans?
Yo, me and Bob, anti-fascists and love sports. I'll talk basketball and baseball with you all day.
True. That's true. That's true.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been to Russia except for the airport. I don't know what the realities on the ground there are, and I don't know how old this gentleman was when he was making these decisions in life. I tend to reward making good decisions, right? So like if you had a fucked up life and now your life is not fucked up, and I try not to hold your past against you, right? I think that. There's no real utility in, if this dude was doing all the right things, there's no utility in me jumping out and going Nazi, right?
Correct.
I think he probably learned the lesson, the internet lesson, that you got to have a very clean jacket to wade into any cultural shit, because people pop out shit. It don't matter. They're just going to try to negate whatever the fuck you're saying by any means necessary. And if you have, like, hey, I was a Nazi for about 2 years. If you have that on your CV, it's going to be really hard to get it off.
They'll find your document, your paperwork. And yeah, I mean, Pat, you should really just look up Slaughter to Prevail, because the musicians all wear like chrome rabbit's masks.
So check this out.
And he's dressed in full athleisure. So, all right. So if you want to look at Slaughter to Prevail, no mic needed, Alex Terrible is a beast up in YouTube. He's in basketball shorts and a pair of running sneakers. So he's part of the athleisure crew. Mm. And the rest of the band is wearing,
Yeah, like cartoon masks, like they're like it's Eyes Wide Shut demon shit. Yeah. So here's why I know that. I think this type of metal is like soul denigrating. I think this is fucking stupid and I want nothing to do with it. But
sure.
But this dude jumped into the Ronnie Radke stabbed thing.
Yep.
And he said that you got to fight him before you got to fight Ronnie Radke, because he's the underboss. And because of this, now this shit is all over my feed.
Yeah, this is
so
your
I actually
all right,
watched.
Guys.
I watched this guy. I watched this footage.
Check, well, now check please. Let's go. We're done. Check. Good night.
More hardcore next week.